Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
All right, our next group in the studio is here to...
Polite British applause.
Oh, very polite, yes. Yes. Are here to promote a polite British movie from a polite British show. Now, actually, very, very incredibly popular program. We need some music to give us a little bit of... Does that fit?
There you go.
You think that fits properly?
Great PBS.
All right, thank you. They are here to promote the Downton Abbey film, which opens on Friday, and we have a whole group of people here this morning. Please welcome Imelda Staunton, Jim Carter, Michael Engler, and Kevin Doyle.
Yes.
To our program this morning. So great to have all of you here today. Thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
So how long has the film been in the works? Is this was an idea before the... before the series ended?
I think it was talked about before the series ended, which was 3 years ago. But then the pressure grew, thanks to you, the media, because every interview we ever did always ended up, off the record, is there going to be a movie? And then the fans, everybody we met in the street, will there be a film, will there be a film? And 3 years later, there is.
The main question I need to know, and since you want to get as many moviegoers as you can to go see this, I did not watch the series. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to watch the series. I shall, but... can I see the movie?
Yes.
And okay, that's
you don't need to have seen the show.
Okay, all right, that's what I need to know because these two are fanatics about Downton.
Love you guys.
When you started talking, I was like, oh, it's Carson.
Carson is a butler. She was not to watch the television series.
So I can't. I went in and out of the series. I've loved stuff like this. I go back to upstairs, downstairs, and shows anything that has the classes together and this interesting dynamic that's existed, and we're perpetually drawn to this scenario. And what I wanted to know is, so you leave the roles for a little bit. Now, Imelda, you were not part of the series, you're just joining the movie right now, but was it hard to pick right up, or was it just like cop it on a bike?
It was easy.
Yeah, easy, yeah?
Yeah.
Easy to get back in?
We played it for 6 years.
Yeah.
So it was like,
I always wonder as an actor, though, if you go off...
I put the waistcoat on now. I was back being a butler.
Yeah.
As soon as I put the dress back on.
So wait, does the movie start off where the TV show ended?
It picks up about 18 months after the finale of the series.
Okay.
This is the voice of Michael Engler, our director. He's American, but we like him.
One thing that Kathy and I sort of agreed on when we first started watching it was that, first of all, it's great escapism, and it's just it's a terrific show with all sorts of drama But people that may not have been into it, we always would just say to them, you know, they're not afraid to kill off characters on Downton Abbey. And there was no shortage of, this guy may die, and you never quite knew what was going to happen. And so it wasn't just that people were protected because they were on this British highfalutin series. You know, they would just kill somebody off, to add to the plot lines. And so I can't wait to see what the twists and turns in the movie are.
I wanted to ask Imelda, because you are a new character to the storyline, can you tell us about who you're playing and how she fits in?
I'd have to kill you all. everything about my character. But what is great is that it's got a very powerful storyline, which does affect the family. And I have my scenes with Dame Penelope Wilton and Dame Maggie Smith, so it doesn't get better than that.
Well, you yourself are a dame, correct?
Oh, I wish.
You can't. You just cast that off.
No,
I thought you
don't
were.
Be ridiculous.
Oh,
no,
all right.
I'm far too young.
She is a commander of the British Empire.
There you go. All
right. Yes, I am. All right. So it was. What was great? It was a shock, to be asked to do it. But then to have a really good, strong female storyline was really nice to play. So I wasn't just, dressed up in a nice costume having a cup of tea. So it was very good to play those scenes.
And this is, the events are based on something that happened in real life. Is that correct, Michael?
That's right. The royal family, that George V and Queen Mary did do a tour of Yorkshire. It was actually much earlier than the setting of this. But they would tour around because, in those days there was no social media, television, anything, and people might have seen photographs, memorial kind of things done of them, but nobody would have ever seen them live. So the idea that this is an extremely exciting, prestigious visit is not over exaggerated in any way.
Now, Michael, you've done a lot of ensemble work with different casts and The West Wing and other shows like that you've directed. There's a certain anything like this where the ensemble is as top-notch as this ensemble is has to be really cool, but it also places a big onus on you to deliver to the hardcore fans and to also do something that's going to invite new people in. How did you approach the movie version as opposed to the TV version of the show?
Well, we did want it to be something that would stand alone, that you could come in
right.
as a fan or as a, you know, new viewer, and the whole story would make sense from beginning, you know, to end, and bring in all the characters who the fans loved and were missing and wanted to see again. So we tried not to change the DNA and throw the baby out with the bathwater, but we wanted it to feel that we were also bringing some new life and new opportunities to it and giving it more cinematic scale.
And you could spend more time, I would assume, than yes. you would on a TV schedule, right?
Absolutely. Right.
And there were so many characters that I loved. So a lot of the main characters are going to be in the movie?
Pretty much all the main characters yeah. from the That's series great. Are in there, yeah.
Which well, is quite a skill to, you know, have... satisfy 20 actors over a two-hour movie.
Right.
It's fine if you've got 8 hours of, you know, in a season, but to do in 2 hours is a hell of a skill.
You know what? It always occurs, though. There's always someone. I mean, it's the nature of the beast. You have something that becomes, look at the way Game of Thrones with all the rabid fan base. You're always going to upset people. So I assume the idea is to just put your head down and soldier on, correct?
It is, and there are worse, you know, pressures to have than
yeah.
trying to satisfy people who love what you do.
Yeah,
I mean,
no.
there are worse problems.
I wanted to ask Imelda, did you meet Maggie Smith on Harry Potter, on the set of Harry Potter?
Of course I did.
Okay, yes. I didn't know if you'd met her before.
Well, no, we'd actually worked together before Harry Potter. So I'd worked with Maggie a couple of times. I'd worked with Penelope on stage. So, you know, it wasn't intimidating because we all know each other and, you know, they're great heroines of mine anyway, but at the same time, you know, you have to go to work together.
Yes.
And, you know, you can't let that get in the way.
I saw an interview with you, Imelda, actually, doing research, and it was leading up the show you're on. They asked you if you would be part of a Downton Abbey movie, and you said, I don't think that's going to happen. And here you are. Were you lying when they gave that answer?
No, not at all, not at all.
Okay.
Because it was a huge surprise.
Oh, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
As well, I'll tell you. Yeah. I mean, Imelda and I have been married for 35 years.
Yeah.
You know, if your research had shown that. So when she came into the kitchen and said, I've been offered a part in a film. I said, yeah, what is it? Downton Abbey. What the hell? That's my territory. And I really thought, no insult to you, my darling, is that you would be playing an undercook. So when I found out you were playing a major aristocrat, I was furious.
Here you are laboring, and she's above you.
But you guys didn't work too much together on the film. You didn't have scenes together?
No, we didn't. I mean, we got a bit overexcited. We travelled to work 3 days together, a bit overexcited in the car.
But that's private, love.
No, he was one end of the dining room, I was the other, or across a field. But no, we didn't have any scenes.
The marriage survived.
It's so cool about a show like this because it's penetrated into so much of pop culture that you hear Downton Abbey mentioned in other movies, in other TV shows.
All the time.
Mm-hmm. And that's
on Sesame Street it showed up.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
it did. Yeah.
It was great. They did a whole...
We've made it.
at what point did you realize the weight at which this show carried with the viewing public?
I think an invitation to the White House kind of sealed it.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. Michelle was a big, big fan.
Wow.
We'd been to a reception at the British ambassador's residence in Washington, which was fancy enough for some of us. But then at 10 o'clock at night, there were a fleet of limousines that took us to the White House. This is the winter of 2012, I think.
Wow.
And we had a private tour of the White House after hours, conducted by the Obama's housekeeper. They'd wisely gone to bed. We thought, this is surreal.
Wow.
Very surreal and a huge honor.
Let me ask each of you, were you to exist in this time, in this environment, would you think you would be the moneyed elite, or would you be... The serving staff.
The three of us, the three actors here, are solidly downstairs. I wouldn't even get into the big house. I'd be a gardener.
I wouldn't be allowed anywhere near the estate.
We just found out this morning that the actual building, the estate, is going to be opening up for a night as essentially a bed and breakfast. Yeah. Have you guys been made aware of this? It's $187 a night. That's it.
Well, I don't think you get the whole cast.
No, no, no.
But you're still on the premises.
Yeah,
I think.
That's
pretty cool.
That's quite a savings. Thing. Yeah. Yes.
Now, Michael, we can't let this interview go by without mentioning that you do have some acting credits yourself. Steve had said to me as I came in this morning, he goes, "Do you know who Michael Angler?" Played. What's that?
Jim.
Oh, it was Jim.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was you.
I have a few acting credits.
Yes, you do. Yes. I apologize. No, I was saying the wrong thing. It was Jim, and now it makes sense. One of our favorite pop culture mentions.
We reference it all the time.
Top Secret, he was deja vu.
Oh.
Yes.
Have we not met somewhere before?
Oh, yes.
I don't. Oh, you have no idea how that has permeated our references throughout the show.
It's over 30 years ago, and yeah. I love it when people come up and say to me, "Are you deja vu?" It's the one thing that makes me most proud.
The underwater fight scene deserves a Lifetime Achievement Award.
And I got to kiss Val Kilmer on screen. It was only a farewell kiss on the cheek, but you know, that's so not everybody's done. It was my first screen kiss.
Are you jealous, Imelda?
Tiny bit.
Jim Abrahams and the Zucker brothers were the directors, and they're fantastic. And they were such good fun to work with. It was great. I love them.
Well, here you have something that's decidedly different, but still an ensemble piece. And so the reviews have been great. And a lot of the reviewers are saying exactly what you would want them to say, is if you're a fan of the series, you're going to get exactly what you want. Though it is a wonderful... It's for fans of movies, I would assume, like, you know, Remains of the Day or any of the things like that, which I am a huge fan of, all that stuff, it's going to give you what you want. And great movies take you away for a while, and that's what they're saying about this. So that's got to be very rewarding.
Very much so. Yeah.
Especially now, for people to be taken away now and just to bathe in this warm glow of, you know, sort of romance, nostalgia, drama, relationships, I think it gives them everything they want, as you said.
And it keeps sort of going back to this. It's funny because we've had our shows that have dealt with this, you know, whether it be Dallas or Dynasty or mm-hmm. whether Falcon Crest, that's so on and so forth. Yeah. But nothing quite catches like, and I wonder if in England... If you guys, if it's the same sort of adoration for this, because we focus in on it and you do as well, if it's the same, how does it read to you?
It's more fervent.
More fervent, you think, yes, yeah?
Over here, yeah.
Because it's sort of like the little show that could, and but, you know, you talk about it on a theatrical level. The show, when I was watching it, always looked very theatrical. So I assume, you know, were there... Is it that much more that you can do? Because it was looking pretty good as it was.
Well, that's the thing, and we always knew that, and it had always been referred to as something that was so cinematic, even as a television show. So, like I said, we didn't want to change that. We just wanted to grow it in some ways. But sometimes, you know, just the simple fact of taking, you know, two people sitting in a room talking and seeing the room at full scale automatically changes your perception of it. You feel more like you're inside it. You see much more detail and depth. And so aside from the big, grand spectacle elements of the film that are more cinematic, I think just scaling it up in that way surprised us.
Were you cautious a little bit so it doesn't, as far as from a cinematic point of view, so it doesn't... contrast too much against the television show?
Yeah, I think we were always trying to balance it so it felt like itself, but it felt like a bigger version of itself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without giving any spoilers away, we got to see it at the premiere in New York a couple of nights ago. We never get to see the TV series with anybody else. You sit and you watch it in your own sitting room at home. So to see it with an audience was astonishing. Yeah. And this is not a spoiler, but there's a moment when we see the house revealed and the theme music kicks in and there's this spontaneous round of applause.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And that's a moment, and that's only minutes into the film, you think, yeah. This is working here. This is brilliant.
Great.
It's at home on the big screen.
Yeah.
That's really cool. There's one theme that seemed to be kind of timeless on the TV show, and I'm curious as if it shows up in the movies, but there's generational gaps. And that seems to me like it's really applicable to today, just as it was then, that the younger generation wants to go run off and play in London or you know, do something, whereas the older generation is a little more conservative and staid. Would you say that's accurate, Michael?
I would say that. And it's also about the kind of, you know, what makes sense in perpetuating this tradition, this house, what makes it worth it, because it's a huge amount of work and effort and money and labor and everything. And at what point it needs to change and in which ways. And that's sort of the handing off of the baton to Mary, you know, in as the next generation sort of caretaker of it.
I can't imagine how much it would cost to run a place like that at any era.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's apparently $186 a night. Yeah.
Yeah. You get it wherever you can.
It seems a lot to us in England.
Imelda, with your work in the Harry Potter series, have you been to conventions, Comic-Cons, and so forth? Because they're rabid for anything along those lines, and especially the Harry Potter series.
No.
No.
Never been.
No.
Yeah.
You're not there as a fan yourself, wandering around with helmets on and things?
I could make a fortune.
You could.
Well, it's funny, because at King's Cross Station in London,
oh my God.
They've got a, you know,
Platform 9 3/4.
Of course, wow. I go there, I think, what am I doing? I could get here at 8 in the morning, I could put on a pink cardigan, and I could make a fortune.
Yes, you could.
I never noticed, and was it you that told me that your costume got darker and darker as your character became more and more. I never even noticed that.
Wow. In Order of the Phoenix.
Well, that's a woman thing, do you see?
Yeah. But I love you in that movie. Even though your character is evil,
he has a crush on
you. I have a crush on you, and I know you're there with your husband, and I'm married as well. But
he's history. what's wonderful is playing a character that is so seemingly, you know, sweet and nice, mm-hmm. and just with a steel heart.
Yeah.
And so naturally they went after Imelda. Yeah.
There's just typecasting. Now, but I mean, you're also in the new Maleficent movie, when we were fans of,
tiny pixie.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And so we loved you in the first one as well. But yeah, that has to be weird. And I assume on that level of special effect, because you're,
yes,
you know, how is that? Because you're a trained actress, you have all these, you know, standard acting chops, and you're there, I assume, doing a lot of special effects or green screens and things like that. Is that a little?
Yes. Oh, look, but that's what the gig is, you know.
It is. Yeah.
And also, different mediums and different types of work are fascinating. You have to sort of, you have to think on your feet, and you have to work in a different way, and that's always quite invigorating.
So you're intrigued by the process alone is enough.
Absolutely.
It's cool, because I would geek out were I to see it. I would not be able to keep it together.
But you have to remember, of course, you know, you're still doing your little story, but yes, you're surrounded, you know, whatever, with nine cameras, and you've got a head thing on with lots of cameras on it. You just have to focus on one spot, but you still have to remember what you're talking
about.
Is
it like acting in a black box?
Not because you have to. It's like, actually, it's interesting here being in radio, and in England, you know, I did a lot of radio, and you're doing a scene, and the person you're talking to is the microphone.
Yeah,
actually, that's who you really have to. As you guys, you know, you've got to. You're talking to that one person at home listening to you.
Correct.
And that's what you have to have in your mind.
No, that's the way to approach it. I want to ask you, because of the success of the series, where's the weirdest place you've been recognized by a fan of Downton Abbey?
All of you can take. Yeah. I was doing a cycle ride in Cambodia in the temples of Angkor Wat, and dressed all in lycra, skin tight. I don't want you to dwell on that. Purple with perspiration, and a busload of Chinese tourists decanted in front of me, and one of them went, "Mr. Carson, this is beyond strange."
I was in a vineyard in Bordeaux, and a couple of Americans came up to me and said, "Oh my God, this is like Brad Pitt." I took that as a compliment.
And Brad Pitt has a vineyard, so there you go. Yeah, it works out.
Oh my goodness, wow. Well, you guys have traveled the world, had some exotic locations, and people recognize you, and it's going to get even more so with the film opening up on Friday. So I'm on board. I definitely want to see it. So it's wonderful to meet you all. Continued success. And I'm sure this isn't the last we've probably heard of Downton Abbey.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being here. Good luck with everything. Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for everyone. Michael and Kevin and Jim and Imelda, of course, from Downton Abbey. The movie opens on Friday.
More podcasts from Preston and Steve available at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.